Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Ginny Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside. We have a very, very special guest with us today who's going to be talking about accessibility and inclusion in the outdoors. So thankful that she's here. From Accessible Adventures, Christy Cook, welcome.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here and to kind of share some resources and how we get outside.
Yeah. And I said you're from Accessible Adventures. It's like you made that. You've made these resources for parents, for families, because so often when you go outside, and I remember this even just from having a stroller, there's a lot of unknowns as to whether this is going to work for my family or not. So I would love to hear about Robbie and your family. You have a beautiful family. You guys have done so much traveling here in the last bit. Tell us about yourselves.
Yeah. So my name is Christy, and myself and my husband, TJ, love to travel. And this is something that's just come up in the last few years. And we've decided to take our kids along for the ride. Our youngest son, Robbie, is 9 years old, and he has LGS. LGS is a rare form of epilepsy. It causes some pretty massive cognitive delays. He uses a wheelchair. He can crawl around, so he's mobile when we're inside, but he can't exactly be crawling around out in the forest. So there are some different pieces of equipment that we use to still get him out in nature. I like what you were saying about strollers. I think initially when he was smaller and he was in a stroller, you know, I'm sure you remember just kind of picking it up and just, you know, lumping it over the big log that was in the trail or going down the steps. And you were like, oh, you know, this is not a big deal. As he outgrew that and got into heavier equipment, he used a pediatric wheelchair, and he himself is about 70 pounds now. That just wasn't a good plan anymore. So we were just not ready to give up the outdoors and started planning for actual accessible trails. Where can we take a wheelchair? Where can we experience nature that feels inclusive? And where can we stretch the limits with the right equipment?
I love that, because that's one of the things that you talk about, which is, if it's not working, are there ways, and they're not always, but are there ways that you can adapt? And when you follow, you're on some of the different social media platforms. So Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And then you also have your website, accessibleadventures.net. When you follow, you know, you see like your husband's got him in the backpack and you guys are in the water, or you're on different trails with different types. You're on the beach, you know, different types of wheels that go to different types of places. And you see, I mean, I look like even in one that you're like almost in like a high ropes course up there.
Yeah.
That you're able to find all sorts of adventure in different ways and adapt to it. You have been a lot of places. You've definitely been to more national parks than we've been to. Tell us some of the places you've been.
Yeah. So Robbie got his camper from Make-A-Wish, and that was about 3 years ago. And since then, we've just been on a mission to show him all of the national parks. So far, Robbie has been to 26 national parks. We had been to one without him. We took our oldest son when he turned 18 to Dry Tortuga, which is just not as accessible. If we were in the same mindset that we are today, Robbie would go. We have it on our list. We're taking him back. But I think that as we started traveling, the more that you see, the more hungry you are to see more. Mm-hmm. So we've been to 13 states in his tiny little camper. And we've been all the way up the California coast, up to Washington, right to the border of Canada. We could look across and see it. And some of our favorite parks for accessibility, the Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, Zion was beautiful. We actually took his wheelchair all the way up the path to where the narrow starts, and we parked it. And we were so nervous because we've never actually like left a piece of equipment out there. And there were so many people. But you can't take a wheelchair in the Narrows. I mean, you can if you have the right kind, but this is his daily use wheelchair. So we strapped him to my husband's back and we went hiking in the Narrows, and everyone was walking by like, oh my gosh, this kid's out here.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so beautiful to watch his face and him light up. He loves the water. We try when we're planning trips to have each of our children chime in with what they want to do in an area. I'll provide a list. Robbie loves water. So he is nonverbal, but he communicates very effectively on what he likes versus what he does not. He loves off-roading and bumpy roads with his hands hanging out the windows, feeling the breeze. He loves anything where he can dip his toes in the water. You said the Kinder Pack. We use that to hike. And when it gets hot, we literally just wade in water. which is such a great way to cool down. And then it just dries, right? So yeah. I feel like we've been all over. Our daughter is 11 now and she loves animals. So mm-hmm. we tend to go to zoos and places where, you know, the Yellowstone was amazing for her because the bison are right up next to the vehicle and you have these huge elks just bugling. And she thought it was just so wonderful. And Yellowstone's amazingly accessible. And it's one of those places that when I say that, everyone's like, I thought it was like a bunch of mud and backcountry hiking. And I'm like, no, there's boardwalks and sidewalks and viewpoints through the whole park. So I think that we get this idea from social media. We see this person that they went to Yosemite and they're at the top of the dome, right? And it's this epic, beautiful picture and this video of the struggle to get there. And oh my gosh, it was worth it. And we think that's what national parks are. But national parks are built for everyone. There are accessible trails at all of them. There are ways that you can adapt experiences. We've been to almost like all of them over here on this West Coast. We've been to so many. And he's been able to experience them all. So I think that our journey on social media has been to kind of show that. Like, you don't have to stay home or have to stay local. If you still have that in your heart and you want to explore and your child loves to be outside the way that my child does, mm-hmm. and you can do it.
Yeah. It was so inspiring. I mean, he's 9 years old, been to 26 national parks. I mean, I would imagine most people in their entire life do not make it to 26 national parks. And that's one of the big things that you talk about is that the national parks are a great option. You even talked about the access pass. Can you tell people about that?
Yes. So the access pass through the national park system is a lifetime pass to national parks, and it is free for those with a disability. And it's not just physical disability. It can be cognitive as well. Autism counts. So if you have a disability, the reason for this is because nature is so healing. And we see that with our son. We see it even with his seizures. When we are out and we are in nature, he's more awake, he's more alive, he's smiling, he's connecting with his surroundings in ways that he doesn't when he's at home. And I feel like the national park system has recognized this. There are a few ways to go about doing it. You can go online and do an application and have your doctor fill out the form. That's what I did with Robbie. I kind of have a type A, I'm nervous personality. So I went through the whole step. Obviously, his neurologist was like, yeah, absolutely, real easy. And we got his through the mail. My husband is a type 1 diabetic. He has an insulin pump attached to him at all times. And we were curious. So when we pulled in one day, everyone in your car gets in for free. National parks charge by the car, not by the person. So as long as Robbie is in the vehicle, we all get in for free. Mm-hmm. But my husband asked, you know, does it count? Like, what all counts? And he was like, well, any disability. He said, well, I have type 1 diabetes. Does that count? And he was like, yeah. So he just showed him his insulin pump. He gave him a piece of paper that said, you know, I have a disability and, you know, I'm being honest about it. And he got his pass. It was so easy. And I know multiple people that have shown up with their children with disabilities and explained, and they've been able to get a pass on the spot without a whole process in advance.
Right.
But it's not just national parks. It's like their whole system. So national landmarks and forests, and there are access to so many places. When you go to the Grand Canyon, the south entrance, mm-hmm. there are also national monuments, Tuzegut National Monument, Wupaki, Montezuma Castle. These are all accessible in some way, and they're all free if you have this pass.
Oh, that's great.
So I think so many times people see our stories and they're like, wow, you must have so much money to do these things. And that's why we share these resources, because A, you can get into the national parks like this. You can camp, and camping is not nearly as expensive, especially if you're camping in a tent. And then a lot of the equipment, like you mentioned the ropes course, that was at an adaptive sports recreation facility. And they have all types of grants and fundraising that they can apply towards your portion. Mm. So if you can't afford it and you're working with these nonprofit adaptive sports companies, they will help you to be able to get in. And that's where we've been. People have seen us like with kayaks and putting his wheelchair on a paddleboard and going on ropes courses. Adaptive sports companies, I don't own all of that equipment for him. I wish I did, but I feel like we already have a whole storage garage full of what we do own. But it's just proof that even when you're traveling and you have to go really far, that you don't have to necessarily bring all of that with you if you plan accordingly and you find these places.
Yeah, it was so much valuable information. And the all access this pass, like you said, you don't even have to do it ahead of time. You can show up, say, you know, this is who we are and this is the disability, and they will let you into for free. And like you said, there is so much. It's the national seashores. There is a lot there through those national parks, and people can hop on. I mean, it is very inspiring to see all of these different places that you've gone. And you also showcase, for example, at the Denver Zoo, and we were just there actually. I wish I would have, I was a little bit too late. I'm like, oh, maybe we could have met up, but we were there for just about 36 hours in and out. And at the Denver Zoo, they have a changing table for older kids or for adults. Can you tell people the importance of that and how it's being used? Like, I actually didn't really know about that, Christy. And I thought, what a huge thing that, you know, you'd said in certain instances, you'd have to go back to your car. You know, it might be cold out. What is it that they have at the Denver Zoo that's so helpful? And do they have those a lot of other places?
Yeah. So this is called a universal changing table, and they're geared towards everybody. The Denver Zoo is such an amazing example. So we've seen them a few places, and I always tend to lean towards the videos from there because it folds out from the wall, so it doesn't take up a lot of space. And then it's on like a hydraulic system where it can raise and lower. So I can lower it for an easy transfer from the wheelchair where we don't have to lift the weight, or an adult wheelchair user can transfer themselves over if they can self-transfer. And then you can raise it back up because my husband is 6'1" and I am 5'3.5". So if I'm changing at a certain height and he is, one of us is breaking our back at this point. So it protects the person that's using it. It protects the caregiver. It keeps everyone safer. And it allows for a safe, clean, not freezing cold or scorching hot private place to be changed, which is so important. Yes. And a lot of people, you know, I never thought of this until I had a child that started getting bigger and he couldn't fit on baby stations. And I was going, oh no, he's still incontinent. He's still using diapers. What are we going to do? A lot of people use their vehicles. But imagine you're at a huge zoo, because the Denver Zoo is huge.
Yeah.
And not all zoos have them. And I have to walk like a mile back to my car.
Right.
Be out in the weather, have people walking past, and he doesn't have the privacy that he deserves, and then walk all the way back and try to find my family. It's just not easy. And these are popping up all over. I can provide you with a link after that you can link down below. For universal changing stations, there's actually a map where you can find them, which is so great. They're so helpful for families like ours. We just found out. And again, it's one of those things where if you don't know, like we've been to Meow Wolf before and I had left and I went to my car and I found out they have a room. You just have to ask. So I think that looking at those maps and raising that awareness, and companies are starting to put them in, even some smaller mom and pop companies have put in, maybe ones that don't raise up and down, that aren't so expensive, but it's like a big massage table. Mm-hmm. And I can still change my son there, and it's safe and it's clean. And it's just so important.
Yeah.
There are even some parks in Colorado that now have them out by playgrounds.
Right.
So I think this is finally catching on, and it is so important because so many families I know don't go out for this reason.
Right.
You know? And you think just because a child is in diapers or an adult is incontinent that they don't have the cognitive awareness, you would not want to be without pants in the back of a vehicle. Like anybody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so many of them are. They do have that cognitive awareness and they deserve that space, whether they do or not, to be able to be changed in private.
Mm-hmm. And he's 9 years old. So that's young still. That's actually a really young, like nine, and is already grown out of the baby ones that fold down that are in a lot of the bathrooms. He's a young kid. He wants to get out, explore, see things, be with his family. And at that age, to be that young and to be not able to do some of these things because there's not a good spot to be changed, I mean, that's a big barrier. And I like the one at the Denver Zoo because it had those bubbles.
Oh yeah. So their room is so cool because it doubles as a sensory room. So that folds up out of the way and there's this huge bubble wall and they have a rocking chair and you can go in there just if you're overstimulated. Nursing moms use that room. I've seen moms like trying to juggle four kids that all look like they were in diapers And instead of going in and having them running off in different directions in a bathroom, there's no toilet in this room. It's much more sanitary. And they're all in this safe little space. So accessibility is one of those things that once it's baked in, it's like the curb cut effect. It doesn't just help the person in a wheelchair. It helps the mom with a stroller. It helps the person that injured their foot and it'll be healed in a month. It helps you when you're trying to carry all this stuff and you can't see in front of you and you don't want to trip over a curb, right? So it's when we bake these things into design, it's so useful. And the Denver Zoo has another great example. They've made low barriers or glass barriers everywhere. So if you've ever had a child in a stroller, then you know when you push them up and they're too low to see whatever's on the other side. And they're like looking over like, oh my gosh, I can't see. And you're trying to strap them in and out and pick them up a bunch of times. I know we've all experienced this.
Yes.
Not super fun. People in a wheelchair that use wheelchairs, they're at that same height. So I love places like the Denver Zoo where they just bake that into their whole design. Yes. And even my little one-year-old that sits in a stroller is just happy as can be. And she's popping snacks in her mouth and she can see everything. Mm-hmm. And so can Robbie. And I'm not like going home like, man, I broke my back trying to pick these.
And he's only 9. So it's like, yes, he wants to see the stuff at the zoo. You're in third grade. Like, of course you want to be able to see everything, but for you to pick him up every single time and put him back, plus you've got a baby, that's a lot. So these small things, I mean, just changing the barrier to have this, or to have this one room where you can go, and it makes such a big difference. I wanted to highlight on your website, highlight Meow Wolf. I know you brought it up, and actually we were in Denver for 36 hours and drove to the Rockies, and I saw it. I saw that Meow Wolf because they've got this huge, almost like neon sign. You can see it. We were driving at night. So I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. And this was one of your most recent posts on your website. And I thought it was incredible how much information that you're giving, because people really need it. So I thought we could maybe go through that place as an example of what people could find on your website, which is accessibleadventures.net. So Meow Wolf, and this is a post about, is Meow Wolf inclusive to wheelchair users? And so you go through and you talk about a lot of things that they do that make it feasible for you to go with your family. So the first thing is, people are saying, there's a loudspeaker, they're saying sometimes, and I would imagine here in other places, strollers and large backpacks are not allowed. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, so I think that part of this is learning how to advocate and learning when things do not apply to you. And that was so hard for me in the beginning, because as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, we can't go here. You know, like they're not going to let me. And I think that so many places, they will. We learned this in Florida, just going to SeaWorld, because there was a no stroller sign and I was sitting outside by myself and I looked upset and somebody walked up and I said, well, I can't go in there. And it was an employee. And he was like, if he can't walk, that's a wheelchair. You can totally go in there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but it doesn't say that on the sign. Like, you
know? It should say, I mean, it on the sign.
It should say no strollers, but wheelchair friendly. Or if your child is using a stroller for mobility needs, we consider that a mobility device. That is a wheelchair. And this is something that I kind of preach a lot on our platform, is learning how to advocate for yourself in a way that is still kind to others. Meow Wolf is really great at this. You go in, they absolutely allow strollers for mobility needs. Wheelchairs, they say no backpacks. They do have a place where you can check backpacks. Like if you're going in with a baby and you're like, but I need my diaper bag. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Go check it in to the check place. There's just small places where you really wouldn't want it. But since we're staying on accessible paths anyway, my son has a backpack full of medical equipment that I need immediately, right? Like his rescue medications I may need at, you know, and on a second's notice. So I explain the situation and they give us a tag that says approved item. And it's really that simple. And I think so often we just don't know these things going in. And I use Meow Wolf as an example, but even when I partnered with them and I worked with them, I was like, I'm going to phrase this in a way that is, it's something that you do, but it's something that so many other places do too. Mm-hmm. And you just have to learn to ask. And I know so many times parents tell me, you know, I'm just so tired of asking because I get told no a lot. Yeah. And I think a lot of this is in how you phrase it as well. Not just, you know, oh, my son needs his backpack, I need to bring it in. This is medical equipment. This is medically necessary that I have this.
Yes.
And that is so different than, you know, I just would really rather carry it. And the same thing with a stroller. Can my son's stroller come inside? They're just going to be like, well, no. because mm-hmm. it's not a place that if we had 50 strollers inside would work. It's right. truly not. But if you say, you know, my son needs a stroller because this is his mobility device, right? Even and sometimes kids can walk, but they tire really easily because of their medical condition. So they might see them outside of the stroller. That's okay too. It is still a mobility assistant device mm-hmm. and you're allowed to have that. So I think learning to advocate, you catch more flies with honey. I know that it's frustrating when you come in, but if you just say it in a nice professional way and you just let them know that this is medically necessary, then usually people respond well to that.
Mm-hmm. And maybe in time, they'll add that to their paperwork because it just says no strollers allowed, but it should say mobility devices aren't allowed. They do that with the animals. There's no pets except for service animals. You see that a lot. So it's the same thing.
I think that they say a lot, wheelchairs are allowed. Like their websites will say like wheelchair friendly, but so many parents are like, but it's not a wheelchair.
Right.
But it is
a stroller because they're maybe younger or they still fit in it.
So like my son's pediatric wheelchair looks like a stroller. It looks like it's a push stroller. He cannot wheel himself. He does not have that ability. So we don't have the big wheels on the outside. But I think that as parents and as advocates, we need to recognize that if it's a mobility device, that's a wheelchair.
Yes.
If it's, you ask, is this wheelchair friendly? And then if they're like, oh, is that a wheelchair? Yes, it is.
Yes.
And this is his mobility device. And then they'll be like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is a medical bag. I like that. As for bags, if you require a medical bag, you bring it with you.
On weekends, we're typically off on another adventure. Whether it's a scenic hike or a quaint town visit, I keep my Vessies with me because they effortlessly adapt to every twist and turn, ensuring comfort and style in our sometimes spontaneous escapades. Whether it's with the kids or just my husband and me, which is pretty rare, I love stepping into a great outdoor adventure with Vessies Storm Burst boots to capture the beauty of springtime landscapes. Their robust style is perfect for our nature excursions, adding a little dash of elegance to our outdoor explorations. The Vessi collection caters to every style. Whether you're dressing up for a night out or gearing up for a weekend hike, these shoes seamlessly blend into your wardrobe while offering the practicality of waterproof footwear. Ready to refresh your spring wardrobe? Vessi has you covered with footwear that fuses style with practicality. Head over to Vessi.com/outside to explore their versatile collection and automatically claim your 15% discount on your first order upon checkout. That's Vessi.com/outside for 15% off your first order.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
And then you talked about, okay, at Meow Wolf in particular, you said that they had a place where you could get free sensory items as well as a sensory guide for the campus. So is this something that's somewhat common, or is it more rare?
It's getting so common. And it's something that I feel like companies just don't advertise enough. And that's kind of where we come in. And I keep trying to tell these companies, like, on your social media, on your website, on your accessibility page, I want so much more information about this. I want your Instagram to have a highlight bubble that says inclusion or accessibility so that families see, because I have found these sensory bins or sensory baskets at children's museums, at adult museums, at zoos, I mean, all over. Sometimes even restaurants have them where they have noise-canceling headphones and fidgets, sunglasses, just different things that might make your experience easier. And sometimes you have those things yourself. Maybe you forgot it at home because we're all human, right? These things happen. or you're just now in an environment where you hadn't. Our daughter is one. She's never used headphones before. I got some just to use for the video and just, you know, figured we would try it out and we'll just show people like, hey, these are what they have. And then I put them on her and she was like, oh, and she immediately calmed down because Meow Wolf can be a bit overstimulating if you're not expecting it, you know, the changes in the rooms. Robbie thinks it's amazing, but it was a bit much for a one-year-old and she loved them. I'm like, I'm taking pictures on the outside of like the brand. Like I need some of these. These are great. She took a nap. But I think that so many times, like, it's just a matter of places have these things. You just have to ask. Mm-hmm. And I know it's tiring asking all the time. But I think reaching out ahead of time is so much easier for me, because if you get there and they don't, or you ask and someone isn't so kind with their answer, it shifts your whole mood for the day.
Yeah.
So the way that I go into things is I contact before we do a trip. I will contact a tourism board. I will ask what they think we should do in an area. I will pre-contact companies and say, this is our situation. This is the level of need my son has. Do you have anything that could help? Do you know any adventure companies or local museums or anywhere that would be accessible, inclusive, that like has sensory friendly evenings? Because usually places that host sensory friendly things have those bins. So that's always a good sign. And people will guide you and they will help you in the best ways that they can. And it's so much easier when you do it ahead of time, so that when you go, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you go in with the appropriate level of expectation, saying, okay, we're going to get through this and this is how it's going to look, or we're going to have this extra support at this location and that's going to be beautiful. And then you don't get, you know, emotional as you're trying to advocate at the beginning of a big day. Cause you know, when you're planning something and you have multiple kids with you, it's already a lot.
Yes.
I try not to add that to the beginning of my day.
Yes. Cause you could get thrown off right at the beginning. And even that, I already talked to so-and-so and this person told me about this thing that you offer. I think it's brilliant to go to the tourism board. And the more that you're asking, obviously, I would imagine, hopefully, that they're being aware that these are things that people need to know. So it should be in the information that they give out on their websites and in their brochures and things like that. Interesting too, that I love this, that you're going to share it with other people. And that's a beautiful thing that you are doing. And I think that piece of, I'm going to be sharing this with others.
So there are great places to still share that information, even if you don't want to have a social media platform. Not everyone is into this kind of lifestyle, and I get it. So the Connected Parent, I've partnered with them so many times. It's called theconnectedparent.net. It's basically its own little search engine for medical parents, caregivers to go on and add in reviews for locations. You can add pictures. You can say this was great. You can say this didn't work. Mm-hmm. And I personally found like an inclusive park that was 20 minutes from me that I didn't know existed. That like, I was so excited because I found this particular swing. It was like a friendship swing in California. And I realized that there's one 20 minutes from my house I didn't know about. And I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing for a living. You guys beat me to it. Like, it's so funny. But I think if we all work together, right, it's a community of people sharing resources saying this place was great, or you can go here and this contact person will help you and can answer questions, then we can all help each other.
Yes, the more resources, the better, for sure. And at Meow Wolf, then you also talked about, you said we're halfway through our time. We needed to change our son. So what did they have there for your family?
Yes. So this is something I didn't know. We've been there before. I went outside. And this time I saw it on that map that I was talking about, the changing places map. And they have a whole room. It's called their guest services room. So you just go to the front desk right at the beginning of the entrance. And I just let them know I need the guest services room. You don't even really have to give them a full reason. I said, you know, I need to change my son. And they call security. They check and make sure that it's available. They walk you over. They open up this room. And it's this beautiful little room. There's a whole couch and two single chairs. And there's a big partition. So like my whole family, if I was by myself, with my 11-year-old daughter, who like, she's 11 and he's 9. Again, there's still a privacy thing there, right? So it gives you that partition so she can sit over there and relax. And I'm on this side. I can change my son. They have a full-size changing table. Theirs is more like a fixed height exam table, almost like a massage table, but it's like an exam table. But it worked perfectly for my son. And you can also use that room if you're nursing, if you need a sensory break, because it is a very big sensory experience. Now, they do have small little sensory bubbles kind of all throughout that you just find and happen upon. But if you're like, I really need a break and I can't just go find one of these, you can just go ask guest services at the front. And it was such a nice little space. We had as long as we needed in there, and we recollected ourselves and got all cleaned up, and we were actually ready to go right back into this exhibit and not have to leave. And it was snowing when we got there. It's like 20 degrees outside.
Yeah, and you have little kids. I mean, to have to, I mean, truly, Christy, to have to take out your one-year-old. I mean, everybody knows that if you have gotten your kids inside of a place, that is a huge feat. I mean, just even to get in, to get, you know, we've got a couple of kids, to get them out of the car through the parking lot. This is a task, a feat, right? You have accomplished.
Victory.
Yes. To have to leave and come back, you know, several times, or just to go out and change. This is a really big deal. So you said, I love what you wrote, Christy. You said, this room meant the world to our family. We happened to visit on a cold, snowy day, and because of the space, we didn't have to leave early to change our son in the back of our vehicle exposed to the weather. And even that you maybe would have to leave early. I mean, you're getting all this work to go back out to the vehicle. It could cut your time short. So this is just a small example of what is on your website. This Meow Wolf, we've kind of talked through, and there was more than what we even hit on. But at accessibleadventures.net, when you're talking about all sorts of places, I loved when you're talking about Bryce Canyon. What are some of these activities? I mean, you had some really cool, like an ATV tour.
Oh my gosh. So Bryce Canyon is one of my favorite locations we've ever been to. We actually worked with their local tourism board. Now, I've worked with tourism boards just on a personal basis, calling, saying, hey, what are some things we could do? And then professionally with our business. And this one we happen to work with professionally. They gave us a bunch of different ideas and they hosted us for some events. And some of these things that they were like, okay, that we're going to do this and that, I was like, you know, we'll try, you know, and you know, if it doesn't go well, they were like, yeah, that's okay. Just try it out. Because if it's not a good fit, you know, we want to know.
Right.
Which was great. So we did the whole, you go into Bryce Canyon National Park and there is a rim trail that goes from one point to another and it is beautiful and it is paved. And then right next to the paved trail, there's like a big gravel space where you can even get closer, which was still definitely rural friendly for us. It was such an experience. And we were like, this is probably going to be the best thing of the trip because these views are immaculate. And then we get ready and we're going to go to this ATV tour. Now, I was told that our baby couldn't go. Mm-hmm. And I get it. She's one. She's in a car seat. Most ATV companies are no car seats allowed. And Robbie has this cool harness where he gets all strapped in and it's almost like a race car driver harness. And it's great for like planes and ATVs. And like, if, you know, we had an emergency and we didn't have his car seat. So we go to drop them off. I pull right up front and I'm talking to the worker there and he goes, why aren't you coming? And I was like, oh, well, 'cause you know, we have a baby, she's only 9 months. And he was like, she's got a car seat. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you got a car seat in these. And I was like, what? And I'm blown away because at this point we're staying at a campground and you are not supposed to do this. So don't hate me, but I started my laundry because I was going to start the laundry, drop them off and go back and do it. And the same company like owns all of this and the ATVs. So I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so sad because I just started laundry. He was like, everybody does it. Come on, let's go. Just come on, let's go. You got a jacket? And I was like, yeah. So we ended up going and I was like, so excited for this. We got Robbie in his harness. Our little one-year-old was in her rear facing car seat, all strapped in because there's like seatbelts or real seats, just like you'd find in a car. Our whole family went out. And everyone else, because they're not in this big car seat, has all our helmets and our gear. And you can ride right to the rim and see so close from a completely different angle than anyone else. And then you go through these trails with like bumps and turns.
And he loves that. You said that's like one of his favorite things.
Oh my gosh. She's laughing hysterically. So in all the videos, you can hear like little baby giggles in the background. She thought it was so great. And we get to the end and it's like October. It's a warm day in October, but it's still October. I mean, it's not warm out. It's maybe 70. And there's this huge mud puddle. And he was like, yeah, in the summer, we just gun it through there and the water just flows over the top. And my husband's eyes, I saw it and I was like, oh no. And he goes, are we allowed to do that? Because we're like a 2-minute drive. Like we could walk to where our extra clothes are and it's sunny and it's warm. And he was like, I mean, if you want to. So we did. I've got videos on our Instagram of the water just flooding over. And then it like flashes to us inside the car and the water's coming in and everyone's squealing and laughing. The baby's like, but it was so fun. And they were just not afraid to include our family in any way. And at the end, you know, usually you would just park an ATV right where they have them parked. And then our truck is 250 feet away and one of us stays and the other one goes, and he just pulled right up beside us because he was in a side-by-side too. He was like, no, no, just pull right to your truck, get everything out. I'll walk over. I'll come get it from you. And we didn't have to ask. Mm-hmm. And I'm always a fan of advocating for yourself, but when you have businesses that they advocate for you and you don't have to ask and they just assume like, do you need this, and ask you if you need it, it's a beautiful thing. So we left there thinking this is definitely the best experience, right? This just topped that. And this is the funnest thing ever. And our next thing on our list was to go to, it's called Ebenezer's Barn and Grill. And my thinking is it's like you walk through the line and you get your food, and food at those places is never wonderful, but you know, it'll be fine. And there's like a country music show, and my son's never been to a concert before. So we'll just kind of see, like he likes music sometimes, but he's not like crazy into it. So we were like, you know, if it doesn't go well and he starts getting restless because he doesn't like sitting still, mm-hmm. he likes to be moving. So we typically don't even like to like sit to eat. We'll like pick up food and go sit outside or something. And we got there and he loved it. I mean, the vibes were just so good. And my husband gets up and it's just me and a baby and then a child in a wheelchair. And my 10-year-old at the time, she went with her dad. And one of the actual singers came over and he was like, hey, when he gets through the line, you let me know. I'm going to skip you to the front of the line so you can get your food when he has his food that we can eat as a family. And I was like, oh, that's just so nice. Like, I didn't have to ask.
Yeah.
He just came and told me. And once they really started getting into the music and then the lights are going off, Robbie was laughing and we got up and we were dancing and he was spinning around and he's clapping his hands. And I was like, I can't believe this experience. Not to mention the food was delicious. We had a steak dinner and it was like, and my husband was like, it's like eating at your mom's house and she's a good cook. So it was one of those things that some experiences kind of stand out in my mind as maybe he wouldn't like it. And Meow Wolf is another great example. Maybe that's just not, you know, wheelchair friendly, kid friendly. Mm-hmm. And those hesitations just hold you back from the most amazing experiences because he loved it. So our new motto is let Robbie decide. So we will try all these different things and we will let Robbie decide. This weekend, we are going ice fishing. Do I know if Robbie's going to like ice fishing? I don't know. We went fishing on a boat. I thought he's probably not going to like this, but we have an experience. And this organization, Cast for Kids, is putting together an event for disabled children to get on the water and fish. His dad was a fisherman in Florida. He just loved and lived for fishing. So I thought this will just be a great thing, even if it's just for dad, because we all deserve that. Robbie loved it. He was reaching out, trying to grab the fish. He thought it was so cool. So do I know if this weekend will go well? I don't know. Are we getting outside and going ice fishing? We sure are.
Christy, wow. It's super inspiring and also so informative. And that's so helpful. I always felt like even with young kids, all you really need are a few places that you love. You don't have to know of 300 places that you love. And even still, you guys are finding place after place after place after place. But you know, if you can find those places that you go and it just lights up your whole family. You said Ruby's in ATV tours may have been the most fun adventure our family has been on yet. This is an hour long, 1 hour. And it's so fun. Yeah. And everybody has these memories. And in that Bryce Canyon article that you wrote, you talk about where to stay. What are the favorite inclusive activities? You talk about the dinner theater that you went to. It's so fun. And that's only two of the places you have highlighted. And it gives people the information they need to make the decisions that work for their family so that they can know if they can try it out or not try it out. And just to see all the fun that you are having as a family and that you all are going together. And I just love it. I mean, you had a beautiful video of your husband. You know, it's like he makes sure he's got Robbie in the backpack. Like everybody goes. We're all going to be together. You are both so fun. He's dancing. You're dancing. It's great.
He's always dancing. His little spin kick has kind of taken off. One time he was kind of joking because he's always doing something, some sort of goofy. Mm-hmm. And he spun around and kicked his leg and was like, yeah. And I posted a video and the internet went wild. Everyone just thought, this is the greatest thing. The energy is perfect and we love him. And I started laughing. So now every adventure that we go on, that's his like accessible adventures approved kick. Like I really liked it. If I spun and I kicked my leg, and Robbie thinks it's funny because half the time he's on his back or he's spinning him too in a wheelchair. It's just kind of become like his thing. But we just, I think we're just big kids. Maybe that's why we keep starting over and just having kids, you know, so far apart. Our oldest is 23 and then we have 11, 9 and 1. We like the company of our own kids. We love the company of each other. And life is just, it's too short to be bored and serious. Mm-hmm. So we try to get out there and be goofy. And sometimes our little introverts look at us like, oh my gosh.
It is really fun. I think everyone's like, you know, you see the video and you're like, I want an adventure with them.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down,
or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Let's talk about real quick, before we run out of time, adaptive gear. So that's another thing that you focus on. And companies can send you things. Like if they have ideas, and people can go on your website and look, but if they have products or different types of things, different gear that might help families, you help spread the word. So people can find that once again on your website, which is accessibleadventures.net. So send you stuff and you guys can let people know this is helpful, this is not helpful. But what are some of the pieces of gear that really help your family?
I would say our favorite that are used the most, our Kinder Pack. That is the carrier that we put on our back and we carry our son. It goes up to 85 pounds. The owner of that company is absolutely amazing. She just keeps coming out with bigger sizes. And we had a video go viral and we ended up, now we kind of know her very well and work with her because of this. And she's coming out with a bigger size. We just got a custom size for Robbie in to test it out and give her ideas and give her feedback so that she can innovate it and make it better before it hits the market, which is so wonderful. Robbie has a special needs life vest. It's amazing because if you've ever been in the water with someone that doesn't have that cognitive understanding, we spent years of like, even if he's in a life vest, I'm holding him.
Well, sure, because your body flips around and you,
yes,
little kids in life vests can still drown.
Oh, yes.
Because they don't know how to flip their bodies over. And I used to lifeguard, and I think that's actually a really important thing to say, is that, you know, you have to be able to hold your body upright. It's helping you float, but it's not helping you float in a way that keeps your face up necessarily.
Right. So these life vests from this company, it's www.pfd-a.com. They make special needs life vests, and he uses the LJA model. And there is another model that keeps you even more out. This one, he can kind of dip himself for a second. His mouth doesn't really hit the water, but he has a little more mobility. He can go front or back. But the disc that is around his head, mm-hmm. it's almost like a foot out from his neck, all the way around. So it is keeping your face out of the water. This gives him freedom. It gives him mobility. So he loves being on boats. We've done a few boat rentals out in California. And he just floats next to the boat and just kicks and splashes and giggles. And we can take turns, you know, getting on the boat and jumping in next to him. And then it splashes him and he thinks it's so funny. And it's been such a great piece of equipment to give him freedom. I absolutely love it. So those two are probably the ones that we bring everywhere. And then as far as larger equipment, we don't have our own track chair, but we have traveled and use a ton of them. I actually spent a few weeks mapping out all of them in the United States. There, I think, are over 60 on the Google Map now. And it's a Google Map that's available for download for $7 on our website. And it shows you everywhere that they are so you can plan a trip. There are certain states that have a ton. Mm-hmm. We're going to Michigan this summer. I'm so excited because they're all over Michigan.
That's where we're at. We should meet up.
Sure, we're going to be there in July. So I'm so excited about it. They have really baked accessibility into your state parks and recreation out there in such a beautiful way. We love the track chairs and terrain hoppers around there as well. And these are, if you're not familiar, it's basically like a little mini tank. That's what it looks like. It's got these little tank wheels that you would see on construction equipment. And it's motorized. You can either drive it yourself with a joystick, or you can have an attendant come and use the joystick and do it for you. That's what we do for Robbie because he doesn't have the ability to be able to control it himself, a power chair. But it is electric, and we can go much further hiking with something like that because he's not on my husband's back. We also were beta testers for a brand new product that just came out called the Huckleberry Hiking Cart. Super exciting. They just launched their website and it's officially for sale now. It's not in pre-sale. It's amazing. If you're picturing this now, and you can go to our page because there's videos all over, but it basically looks like a bicycle wheel behind you. Your child or loved one is sitting on a seat above it, and it's strapped into what you would look like a big hiking harness, like you would have if you had one of those carriers behind you, like with a kid.
It's
on
like you're like a chariot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is like you are a horse in a cart, kind of, but it's so wonderful and it can go truly anywhere. We've been all over different types of terrain, single track, which is really awesome. And it's got a great like suspension system. So it's a much smoother ride than us just kind of bebopping him around in his wheelchair. Mm-hmm. My husband is just obsessed. He loves it so much. But there are so many great adaptive outdoor wheelchairs, depending on what you're looking for. The thing with the Huckleberry cart is it's not without physical need, right? So mm-hmm. you are still balancing some. My husband, the level of fitness that he has for a 70-pound kid, very easy. For me, I can go on flat ground and over some small bumps. I could never handle the type of terrain that he is doing. Mm-hmm. I have a very weak core, apparently. It's just, it's not for me. I'm working on it. By summer, you're going to see me out there with this thing because I think it's just the coolest thing ever. But there are other things because there are parents that I've talked to that they themselves may have a physical disability and they can't do this, right? So they have chairs called like the Extreme Modus chair. This thing is, it floats.
This is the one that was like, it was like almost look like, and it's like you're turning the corners. Is that one?
So we went to a pump track. And the reason we went to a pump track is because it has these huge wheels and they just absorb every hit. And I say hit because we caught some air. And Robbie thought it was so fun, but you can really just turn and bounce and it goes over snow and sand. it would be a perfect chair if you live by a beach because it can also float. Now, it's not like a floating beach wheelchair where it balances itself, but you need one hand to keep it balanced. And they took it to Zion. That's why I said some chairs can do it, because Sam and Ryan from Extreme Modus, they went to Zion, and I want to go back with one of these chairs. And they basically hiked the whole way, and you just kind of muscle through. It's got these ropes on the front. I say ropes, they're probably more technical than that, but you can have people pull from the front and people push from the back. And then once they got into the deeper water, he was just cruising. He was just floating along and laughing. It's really an amazing piece of equipment. So they actually put out an article comparing all of these off-road chairs, the Huckleberry, theirs, and then there are, you know, over a handful of others as well. It just really depends on your lifestyle, I think, and what you're looking for to just choose which one is best, because there are so many amazing pieces of equipment out there. You just have to find the one that's right for your family. And sometimes you can find, like, if you're by where they are, they do a free rental of theirs. So you can try it out. There's also a nonprofit, Always Choose Adventure, that's here less than an hour from Denver. And you can become a member and you can use that chair for free. She has two of them, the Extreme Modus chairs, which is so great. And I know that Huckleberry, he's working on trying to get his into with some nonprofits and state parks. So not yet, because it's brand new. But I think that leaning into adaptive sports companies and nonprofits that have these, so you can try them first, is such a key to figure out what is the best fit. Because my husband and I were a different size, we're at different physical levels. And if it was just me and it was just me alone with Robbie all the time and I still wanted to get outside, I would choose an Extreme Modus. If it was just him and he wanted to get outside, he would choose a Huckleberry. And that just shows you that there's not one product ever that's going to be perfect for everyone. We all have different levels of fitness and ability and need. So that's why there's so many beautiful, you know, choices out there.
Yeah. And even as your child grows, those things are going to change as what's the best fit and where do you want to go. Let's hit one last topic that's a little off of the topic of where can we go and how can we do it. But just this piece of a family life. And you had written on your website that divorce rate is 30% higher for parents of disabled children. Can you talk to us about how adventure and getting out and doing things and sharing these memories has helped? Because this is really hard. You talk about being a medical parent, that it's very heavy. Those are the words you used. The journey of medical parenthood can be heavy. And actually, this is part of what your mission is. We are here to hold a safe space for you. You are not alone. If you have any questions, my inbox is always open. It'd be hard and isolating. How has this sense of adventure and when you guys are really out there living life more so than most people, has it helped your marriage?
I think it has. I think that for a long time, it's not that our marriage wasn't good, but when we fell in love out on a boat fishing and four-wheeling, and we both had a love for being outside and adrenaline, and just doing things together. So my husband is not just my husband. My husband is my absolute best friend. He is my person. I would choose being with him and going somewhere over quite literally anyone. And as we had kids, you know, we would still just kind of lug them along. And then as Robbie started getting bigger, it started getting harder. And we were like, oh, we'll just build. We lived in Florida and we built like a really beautiful backyard and we put in a pool and we were like, this will be enough. Right. And for some people, that is exactly what you need. Right. And I think that for others, it's okay if it's not. And I think that the advice that I give is not just go outside or just go on some adventure, because some people, that's not what you need. Yeah. But you have to find anything that brings you joy and you have to hold on to it as tightly as you can. So we sat down and we talked about it because Robbie was eligible for a Make-A-Wish. Since he was two, and he did not get one until he was six or seven. We just couldn't decide what would Robbie want, what would bring joy for more than a few days. We lived in Florida right by Disney, and he doesn't like crowds and it's so hot. So we just kind of put it on the back burner. And we moved here to Colorado for better medical care for him. And we got out hiking a few times just locally with none of the right equipment, which is still the way to do it, if you ask me. And we just love being outside. And I just saw that light coming back in my husband's eyes again, that I saw something new. and I felt the adrenaline and I, you know, that beauty capture. And it was like vacation dad. And that's funny. That's what our older son called it. It's when we go on vacation, dad's like a whole different person. It's like this weight gets lifted. And the more we talked about it, we were like, what if we got a camper? We did not grow up camping. We did not grow up really being outdoorsy outside of like fishing in Fort Riley in Florida, like not hiking. I've never been to a national park ever in my whole life. Never.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And Robbie's been to 26 and he's 9. That's incredible.
We made this decision that we want to do what brings out the joy in everyone. So we talked it over as a family and everyone really loved being outside. And everyone really loved traveling. And because of COVID, we hadn't really gone anywhere. So we thought this little safe camper is going to be a great place. And we went on our first trip and it was like 10 days long. And everyone said, stay really close to home and don't do it. We did not listen. We were like, we're going for it. You know, we went out there and we did all this. And just the joy that we both felt. And it was like that weight, that heaviness. And it's so hard to explain if you never felt the weight of all of the therapies and the hospitals and the medications and the decision fatigue on what is best and what is next. When you get outside for us and when we get in nature, we can just release it. You can just feel it lifting and he can just be a kid again and we can just be young parents again. And it brought us so much joy and it's brought us closer together. And the more that we experienced it, the more we were like, we really need this. And I find it funny because it's something that sometimes I myself forget. We had a really rough week last week on the internet. We just hit, I always say the wrong side of the internet and just got so.
I saw it.
Yeah. We got so much hate and I was having a hard time. And my husband and I sat down and he was like, we need to pick me up. You know, we need to find that joy. Let's make some plans. Let's go out and do some things and let it lift again. Right. So I started planning for summer. So you thought that you were going to make me stop, but instead now I have a whole summer planned out and I put that energy into something that I know is going to get us back. And then on Monday we went out with an off-roading company. We partnered with them and they have this mission to be more inclusive. And one day of being out in the woods and bumping around and seeing the mud fly. And it was like all of our cares just washed away and Robbie was giggling. And I thought, yep, this is why we're here. This is it.
I'm so sorry. I saw a little bit of it as I was prepping for the podcast and it was just awful. People saying such awful things. And here you are, all you're doing is sharing your life in a way that is so beneficial to other people who want a little bit of that, who want that weight lifted for a little period of time. It's not forever. It just, you get a little bit of a reprieve here and there, and you're helping people find those things and you're advocating to say, look, every single place that you go, there should be a universal changing table. That should be a no-brainer. And here's where you can go. And here are the places that are going to be supportive of you. So I'm so sorry. I saw some of it. And I just thought it was just like the most awful of the awful things that people say. The wrong side of the internet is a nice way to put it, I think. But you know, this is the most important because if a family does not have extra medical needs, that decision fatigue is not there. And every family has their struggles, but I mean, who needs it the most? Your family needs it the most. So to be out there and spreading the information is so valuable for everyone else. I so appreciate you taking this time to be here with us. I hope in July we can find you. I'm going to come find you when you're here in Michigan. It's beautiful here. It's a great idea to come in July. It's a gorgeous time. So if people want to find you, Christy, it's at accessible.adventures. That's Instagram. You're on YouTube, Facebook, accessibleadventures.net. I mean, these are very recent posts. The Meow Wolf was there, Bryce Canyon, so many things. So I'm so grateful for you to be here. People can go and get for $7. Just go and grab that track chair map. You offer just so many pieces of information and continue to. So follow along, send your friends there, send your family there, because you're getting, people are sending you different things and you're sharing the different gear and things all the time. So people can follow along. And we always end, Christy, with this question, which is, what's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside?
Ooh, my childhood was not really outside. So I didn't have a very adventurous hiking type childhood. I think we had one trip that would kind of relate to my adult life. Maybe that's why I lean into it so much. We went to the Smoky Mountains. And my mom, we were talking recently about planning another trip for our kids. And she was like, do you remember going to here or there? And it was like the theme park type places. And I said, no, but I remember we stayed in a cabin and there was a creek behind the cabin. And I remember playing out there for hours and just, you know, walking across the rocks and picking up sticks. And I just thought that it was so calming and so beautiful. And I just couldn't believe that places looked like this. And it makes me so happy that my kids have so many memories like that. They're just surrounded by nature on a regular basis, and they know all these different environments that they've been exposed to. I was recently talking to my grandmother about our upcoming trip, and she said, man, your children really have a great way of learning geography.
Isn't that the truth? Chrissy, thank you so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for helping us spread our message. I like to remind people that even if you don't have a medically complex family, it's amazing if you can follow along and engage, because it's honestly the people that don't that need to see the message the most. And we get comments back saying, you know, I didn't realize that this was something, and I own a company, and now I'm going to adapt and I can change this and I can make it more inclusive and let people know that we would love to have a family like yours out here. So I think that there's so much power and community in social media, and I would love for you all to join our community.
Absolutely. Thank you.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.